So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the 8th canto, chapter 22, text number 4. And today, let's discuss a little bit about problems. So we're going to, we can't avoid problems in our life. We can't control that. But we can control how we deal with them and how we react to them. So Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness is the highest form of thinking. So we'll see different examples of how people think when problems happen. So let's go to today's verse. Pumsam slagyattamam manye. Pumsam slagyattamam manye. Dandam arhatam arpitam. Dandam arhatam arpitam. Yam na mata pita. Brata yamna mata pita brata suvidas charisanti hi suvidas charisanti hi pumsam slagayatamam manye. Dandam arhatam arpitam. Yamna mata pita brata. Suvidas charisantihi. Pumsam slagayatam ammanye. Dandam arhatam arpitam. Yamna mata pita brata. Suvidas charisantihi. Pumsam slagayatamam manye. Dandam arhatam arpitam. Yamna mata pita brata. Suvidas chadisantihi. Suvidas chanti santihi. Pumsam slagayatamam manye. Dandam arhatam arpitam. Yamna mata pita brata. Suvidas chanti santihi. Pumsam slagayatamam manye. Dandam arhatam arpitam. Yamna mata pita brata. Suvidas chandisantihi. Pumsam slagayatamam manye. Dandam arhatam arpitam. Mata pita brata. Suvidas chadi santihi. Pumsam slagyatamam manye. Dandam arhatam arpitam. Yamna mata pita brata. Suridas chadi santihi. Vaishnavis. Pumsam slaga yata mamane. Danda mahartamar pitam. Yamna mata pita brata. Suridas chadi santihi. Pumsam slaga yata mamane. Dandam arhatam arpitam. Yamna mata pita brata. Suridas chadi santihi. Pumsam slaga yata mamane. Dandam arhatam arpitam. Yamna mata pita martyam. Suridam chadi samantihi. Pumsam of men. Slagyatamam, the most exalted. Manye, I consider. Dandam, punishment. Arhatama arpitam, given by you, the Supreme Worshipable Lord. Yam, which, na, neither, mata, mother, pita, father, brata, brother, surida, friends, cha, also, adishanti, offer, he, indeed. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Although a father, mother, brother, or friend may sometimes punish one as a well-wisher, they never punish their subordinates like this. But because you are the most worshipable Lord, I regard the punishment you have given me as most exalted. Please repeat. Although a father, mother, brother, or friend may sometimes punish one as a well-wisher, they never punish their subordinate like this. But because you're the most worshipable Lord, I regard the punishment you have given me as most exalted. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Punishment meted out by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is accepted by the devotees as the greatest mercy. Tate nukampam susamikshamano bunjana vatmakritam vipakam hridvak vapavir vidadan namaste jiveta yo mukti pada sadayabak. One who seeks your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to the karma of his past deeds, who engages always in your devotional service with his mind, words, and body, and who always offers obeisances to you, is certainly a bona fide candidate for liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto. A devotee knows that so-called punishment by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is only his favor to correct his devotee and bring him to the right path. Therefore, the punishment awarded by the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be compared to even the greatest benefit awarded by one's material father, mother, brother, or friend. Om Jnana Tamadandasya Ginanjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmilitamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitamena Bhutale Swayam Upakadamayam Vedanti Dhafsantiskam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakopa Tubhyascha Kripasindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So the verse again. Pumsam Slagyatamam Manye Dandam Arhatam Arpitam Yamna Mata Pita Brata Suridas Charisantihi. And translation. Although a father, mother, brother, or friend may sometimes punish one as a well-wisher, they never punish their subordinate like this. But because you are the most worshipable Lord, I regard the punishment you have given me as most exalted. So this is Bali Maharaj, very much exalted soul, who is describing his mentality. He's showing what kind of person he is. Here he is surrendering everything to Krishna. And it looks like Krishna is really exploiting him. First he cheats him, tricks him, and then steals everything from him. And then he arrests him and ties him up, insults him like this in front of everybody. But yet, how does his devotee react? As we can see, his mentality, he's going to be speaking here in several more verses. And it's just a very exalted personality to be exemplified. And it doesn't matter. Everyone has the choice to control their thoughts, whether you're a devotee or a demon or whatever else. And this is a particular demon here, Bali Maharaj. So the devotees, they don't regard things that are troublesome, sufferings that are imposed by the Lord. But actually, they find that they give them pleasure. So there's a very nice understanding of that here. We'll say in the 10th canto, there's a very nice verse and purport. And Srila Vishnava Chakravarti Thakur, he puts up an objection here. He puts up a possible objection. And he says, what fault would there be in God's incarnating for some other reason than to deliver saintly persons from suffering? And then the learned Acharya responds, yes, my dear brother, this makes good sense, but you're not expert in understanding spiritual moods. Please listen. So you're trying to understand why Krishna is giving suffering to his devotees. So here's an analogy, he says. It is at night that the sunrise becomes attractive. During the hot summer, that the cold water gives comfort. And during the cold winter months, that warm water is pleasing. Lamplight appears attractive in darkness, not in the glaring light of day. And when one is distressed by hunger, food tastes especially good. So in other words, to strengthen his devotees' mood of dependence on him and longing for him, the Lord arranges for his devotees to go through some suffering. And when he appears in order to deliver them, their gratitude and transcendental pleasure are boundless. So this is what happened to Bali Maharaj. He was put in a difficult position, but it was not meant to cause so much punishment, but to actually glorify him and to bring this transcendental pleasure of the association of his Lord. So it's very nice. And we'll see as that unfolds how much he actually gives him compared to what difficulty he has to go through. So we can see, we've seen so many catastrophes that have happened throughout the world. Anybody recognize this? The Titanic, right? And sometimes there's a nice story related to this. There was years ago in Scotland, there was this Clark family, and they had a dream that they would just work very hard, you know, very honestly, and save money, and then that way we could go to America and have a happy life. So about a week before they were about to leave, his son got bitten by a dog, and he got rabies, or they wanted to make sure he didn't have rabies, so they weren't allowed to board the ship. So he came, this was a problem. This is like a mountain. Problems are like mountains, right? Things happen to us bad. So he thought, this is really bad. So he went to the church and started to complain and gripe to God, you know, terrible this is and how bad his son is and all these things. But then when he found out 5 days later that it actually sank, then he went back and he said, I'm sorry for, you know, blaspheming you and cursing you and cursing my son, but actually you saved my family. So in this way, we don't understand the plan of Krishna. Sometimes we have dreams and they're smashed away. You know, like this person had a dream to go to America, and then he understood that actually Krishna has a plan. We ourselves, what can we do? What do we know? So we could go on to different, we can see so many things happen, crashes. Why is this happen? Why do these things happen? Krishna has a plan. And for the plan to be revealed to us, we read the transcendental scriptures. Sometimes Krishna writes, and Srila Prabhupada writes in his books, sometimes he comes to annihilate the demons, and sometimes he puts them all together in one place, and they die. Prabhupada writes that actually nothing happens by chance. There's some reason why they all came together and everyone had to crash in a particular situation or die. Sometimes we may get diseases. Has anybody ever heard of this progeria disease? It's where you're a young boy, young baby, and you immediately start to age like an old man. Very much. And there was an interesting... This was a son of a famous person you might have heard of, Harold Kushner. So he wrote this book in reply to that, being angry and lost his faith. So he wrote this book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. He dedicated it to the memory of his young son, who died at the age of 14 of this incurable genetic disease. So this book actually became a bestseller and a lot of people, but what he was doing is just trying to say, if there's an omnipotent God, he's supposed to be omnipotent, he's supposed to be omnipresent, he's supposed to be omniscient, right? But he must not have any of these qualities, because how did my son die? Didn't he know? Wasn't he powerful enough to protect him? So in this way, he's thinking, maybe he has all these qualities, but maybe he's just unmerciful to the suffering. So this is how people, they lose their faith in God when bad things happen, supposedly to good people. But anything in the material world, Prabhupada says, whether it's good or bad, it's all bad if it's not related to Krishna. So we know another person here. I don't know if you could recognize him. But also his son died of cholera. And when his son died, he became an atheist. And this is Charles Darwin. He was a Christian. And then we know he started this whole theory of that we come from apes. I guess he was trying to get... It's not God. It's we come from apes. We evolve from... the species like that. So this is another reaction to problems. Something's happened to us and then we start to lose our faith. Here's another story of a person. His name was Arthur Ashe. He was a very famous tennis player. You probably heard of him. He's smiling, no. But he had a disease. He caught AIDS, actually, from a blood transfusion. And he died. He was the first black man to win the Wimbledon tournament, which is, you know, very prestigious position. But during his illness, he got a letter from one of his fans, and he said, "Why is it that this happened to you? Why is it that you were picked to get this disease? I mean, there's so many useless people out there, and they're doing nothing, but you accomplished so much, and yet you have been chosen to take this disease and die early. I mean, it shouldn't happen to you." And he actually wrote back to that person, and he said, "Just imagine there's 5 million people out there that play tennis. And there's only like 1 million that actually know what they're doing. Maybe know a little bit about the game. They have a clue of how to play. And then maybe 50,000, they achieve pro level. And then maybe out of those 5,000, they actually get to attend the Grand Slam tournament. And then out of that, there may be 50 selected to participate in this Wimbledon tournament, which is the highest tournament you can attain. And there's only 4 people that go to the semifinals. And then there's 1 person that wins. And that was him." And he said, "We should also ask Krishna or ask God, why? Why did he choose me to do that? Why was I chosen to be the winner?" But when things bad happen to us, we start to blame God. But if things good happen to us, we take all the credit. So he wrote back and said, "Yes, you know, actually, I was selected and I take full responsibility because of my sinful activities. Because I did something wrong, therefore I had to suffer." Instead of blaming God, he actually took responsibility in that way. So this is another nice example of how different people respond to mountains that happen to them. Some people, they complain, they become atheists. Some people actually take responsibility. And someone like Prahlad Maharaj, he doesn't even notice. He's so absorbed in Krishna. He's trying to be boiled alive, and he doesn't even notice. He's so absorbed in Krishna. Krishna's protecting him like that. And there's another nice story of Vino Vidura. He was a very good well-wisher of his family, the Kauravas. And he approached Dhritarashtra when his son Duryodhana was there. And he wanted to avoid the war. And he said, "You should not perform this war. You should try to stop this war. And it's all due to your rascal son, Duryodhana. Because he doesn't want to give the Pandavas their rightful share." So he was kind of giving him Duryodhana the sauce right in front of him. And then Duryodhana gets all mad. And he said, "Who invited you here? You know, you're just a maid servant. You're kept, you know, son of a maidservant. And, you know, who asked you to come here? So just get out." He kicked him out and said, "Just leave him with nothing but his breath." So that's what he did. So this is like a problem that happened to Vidura. So what did Vidura do? Did he get mad? Did he get angry? Did he like try to fight back or try to do something? But no, he just immediately left the place. I mean, it hurt him. You know, words from your family members pierce like arrows. Of course he felt bad, but he didn't react. And before Duryodhana could do any more, he just left the place. And he said, "He doesn't need my protection. By the will of providence, he will is acting in such a way that he's going to destroy himself. So what can you do?" So he saw that his thinking was that this is the external energy of Krishna. He's in control and everyone gets their due. but also it's the internal energy of happening of Krishna that's given me the opportunity to leave home. So he thought that was a great opportunity. So what he did is just left home, went on pilgrimage, and he was able to meet great saintly persons and discuss philosophy. So he saw that actually Krishna's arrangement, it was his internal energy to give him an opportunity to, you know, engage fully in Krishna consciousness. He wasn't attached to the home or the kingdom or the palace or anything. He was always looking for an opportunity to give it up. And Krishna gave him that opportunity. So that was a problem. That was a mountain. How did he overcome it? So he had a vision, the understanding. There's like an external reason and an internal reason. And we see here, Maharaj Parikshit observed that this personality of Kali was beating the personality of religion. And he said, who's doing this to you? And the personality of religion wouldn't admit. And she said that, actually, it's very difficult to understand, you know, how these things happen to us. And that we shouldn't identify with the mischief mongers. Because if we identify with them, then we actually achieve the same result that they get. So, Prabhupada writes here that according to the Padma Purana, our present trouble is due to the fructifying of seedling sins. But even those seedling sins also gradually fade away by the execution of pure devotional service. Thus, even if the devotee sees the mischief mongers, they do not accuse them for their suffering inflicted. They take it for granted that the mischief monger is made to act by some indirect cause, and therefore they tolerate the sufferings, thinking them to be God-given in small doses, for otherwise the suffering should have been greater. So this is another nice way to look at things, that actually we deserve more, but Krishna has just given us a token punishment just to correct us. So this is a very nice understanding. So we have problems in life. We're challenged in so many different ways. And there was this sadhu who had a very problematic life. He suffered much and he was very poor. But at the end, he actually met the Lord. He went home. And then he started to challenge the Lord in a way, saying, why have you given me so much trouble in my life? And he said, I'll tell you. Do you remember when you were a young boy, your mother was embroidering a very nice image on some cloth, and you were looking up at her, she was sitting down, and you were looking, and you could see underneath the embroidery. And she said, I'm making a beautiful design. I'll show you. I'll show you when I'm, you know, you'll see. And he looked at it and said, that just looks like a mess to me. Because he was seeing underneath the embroidery cloth. So he said, just go play and you could come back later. And he came back a little later and looked up. And he said, wow, that looks like even more of a mess now. So he said, no, just come back in a little while and I'll be finished. So what... He finally came back, and she brought him and put him on his lap. And he began to show that, see, you can actually see what I'm actually doing, making a very nice, wonderful work of art. So in the same way, you know, we see the mess like this, and we have so many problems in our life. And Krishna said, in the same way, I am also broidering, you know, very nicely your life. It may look like a mess, but just see the result. You have achieved a very beautiful position. You are with me. So that's a nice example. Another example given, there's this one sadhu in Vrindavan. There's a devotee I was hearing, he was talking about this. And he used to worship these Radha Krishna deities. And how he worshipped them was that every day he would make them new clothes. I think his name was Balaji from New Vrindavan. I don't know if anyone has heard of him. But yet, you know, he was very poor and he didn't have much. But that's how he served his Radha Krishna deities. And people would come and they'd offer him cloth and so he could make new clothes every day. And then one time this rich merchant came by and he also saw him and he offered him some clothes, some cloth to offer to his deities. But then he said, I have a question for you. Why is it that you're pleasing your Lord so nicely, you're giving him so much enjoyment, but you're very poor? And I could see that your dhoti's, you know, torn and dirty like that. Why is the Lord not properly reciprocating with you? You don't even have proper cloth, or to speak of place to live or whatever. And then he told him that he had a very amazing realization. He said, just see how I'm sticking this cloth. I'm using the needle and the thread. But from the external point of view, it appears that I'm piercing the cloth and maybe even tearing the cloth and causing pain to the cloth. But behind the needle, there's a thread. And the thread is making the cloth very beautiful. So the same thing, he said. The Lord, he gives me trouble, my life, poverty. But I'm not complaining. Because I know behind the problems, there's the merciful thread of the Lord. So even though my cloth is in a bad condition, but my heart, it's stitched with the mercy and the protection of the Lord. So he said, I don't care about the external view, but if my heart is grateful for the Lord, then I don't need anything else. Another attitude of a devotee is he's grateful for whatever happens to him because he knows it's the protection of the Lord. And Krishna has a plan, somehow or another. That needle we're getting, and behind it is that thread of mercy for Krishna and protection. We see Dhruva Maharaj also. I mean, literally, when he was fighting the demons of the Rakshasas, and they were very powerful, and they knew all kinds of mystic tricks, and literally they were throwing mountains on him. And many heavy-duty, you know, raining, all kinds of obnoxious things, so many kinds of animals, and just an amazing illusion that was attacking him. But what did he do? He just took out this special arrow that was actually crafted by Krishna, and he empowered it with the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he empowered that arrow with the Maha Mantra, and he shot it at, and all that illusion was completely gone. So this is our problems we have. I mean, it's not that because we have problems, we need to speak about our problems all the time. If you're just speaking about your problems all the time, then you're making your problems bigger. But you want to speak light into your problems. How do you speak light into your problems? The same way Dhruva did, chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. By chanting, we can actually dispel these so-called troubles, illusions, and mountains. So same way with Arjuna. He was bewildered, thinking that if I, you know, there will be so much misery caused by the families and killing of my own family members. But Krishna had a higher plan. He said they're already destroyed by my arrangement. I brought them all together and none of them are going home. But you just be an instrument in this fight. And everybody that died, actually, they were liberated. So whatever Krishna does, it's for some high benefit. And here's another attitude when troubles happen. This is the highest attitude, not to be imitated, but she's praying for calamities. That please send calamities. Because when we have calamities, then we can remember you. We see you. So this is the highest form of attitude that one should have for Krishna. So we see, sometimes we get in a comfort zone, but the Lord, He'll shake us up. He'll wake us up like a thunderbolt. Something happens. Because He wants us to wake up, and this is not our home. He wants us to go back home, back to Godhead. So this is showing how this Krishna and this name is like a thunderbolt. And we see this comes. The Srimad Bhagavatam gives an analogy that says the souls in the material world, we become so involved with our erroneous ways that is, it's as if our hearts have become buried in a gloomy mountain of sinful desire. But what is it? It's the lotus feet of the Lord, which is like a brilliant thunderbolt. It shatters these mountains and it illuminates our true consciousness. So we see here, we can see in different traditions, Krishna has come to give the instructions, to give His guidance, so that we could give up these mountains of sinful desires. And all throughout, we can see there was many things that even happened to devotees. Here's a great fire that took place, and they were trying to kill the Pandavas. But they were protected by the devotees who built a tunnel, and they were actually freed from that calamity, that mountain. And we see another personality, and this is when Draupadi was being disrobed. She was thinking about the problem, trying to do something on her own. But yet when she just gave up all those thoughts and completely surrendered to Krishna, then Krishna protected her. So this is an interesting thing, is that if you want to become healed from your problems, you have to stop thinking of the problems and start thinking of our God. You know, we make mountains of our problems, but Krishna, He's greater than our problems. And if we think of Krishna, then the problems are automatically diminished. Here's Krishna. I mean, talk about mountains. I mean, He can lift these mountains like nothing with the pinky finger of His left hand. You know, He was a 7-year-old boy holding these for 7 days. So this is what happens. I mean, what can we do? We have this great resource. There's an interesting story I also heard. There was a child playing in a little sandbox. And there was a pretty good sized stone in there. So he was trying to get that stone out. He was moving it with his little legs and his arms, pushing it. Then he came to the edge. And then he tried to lift it and get it off. And he couldn't lift it. He got it up a little bit and then smashed his finger. And then he started to cry. And then just at that time, the shadow of his father appeared there on him. And he said, "What's the matter?" And he said, "I'm trying to move this mountain." And he said, "Well, you haven't used up all your resources." And he said, "Yes, I've used all my energy, everything." And he goes, "No, you forgot. You forgot me. Just ask for my help." You know, he just picks it up, throws it out. So if we try to just rely on ourselves, we are limiting ourselves. But if we rely on Krishna, then we have a world of possibilities available to us. Just see, Krishna is making universes, planets, float practically in thin air. This is the power of Krishna. Look, we think we have big problems, but our Lord is big. I mean, we meditate on those. That's what we need to meditate on, the Lord. And this is the vision that Bali Maharaj actually saw. So this is, Krishna comes in the material world. It's described to be just like a rainbow appears. And it has very beautiful colors. And it's like the bow without a string. And the string represents the three modes of material nature. So these modes are what bind us. They give us these different attitudes of complaining and problems, so many different things. But if we just take shelter of this glimpse of hope, of the rainbow that comes. And Krishna, he appears to give us his transcendental knowledge, his transcendental literatures. And if we just focus on those, we get the right position, we get the right form of thinking, then all these problems that we see in this Kali Yuga are gone. It's disappeared. It's like a shadow. It just come to the light. And this is what Srila Prabhupada did. He came and he gave his association. There's an interesting story of a sadhu who was very famous for solving problems. So he was visiting this one village, and everybody wrote down all their problems that they had, you know, about their family. And he said this to me, and my kids do this, and, you know, this and that. And so they had all these problems. And then he came amongst them, and he said, let's chant, let's sing. So he got some kartals, he chanted for a while, and then they were dancing and everything. And then he sat down and looked at everybody. And he only said one sentence. He said, I think I have solved all of your problems. Right? And everybody agreed. But, and the association of a saintly person, all the problems just seem to go away. Because they're on a higher level. And we could get influenced by that if we follow their instructions, follow their examples. So after some time, maybe when the sadhu leaves, and then he's gone a certain distance, then we begin to think about our problems again. And then he's like farther and farther away. Oh, I should have asked him that problem. Oh, maybe I should go see him and bring up my problem again. But this is what happens. It doesn't work if you focus on your problems again. You have to focus on Krishna. And that's our goal, is to focus on Krishna. Because Krishna, his lotus feet are our shelter, and he is our supreme goal. So this is our real purpose of being here, is to get back, get free from these problems that are actually there to wake us up and shake us. So this is where we can go and associate with the Supreme Lord. So thank you for your kind attention. Any comments or questions? Realizations? Okay, well, thank you very much. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. Jai. It's kind of bright. Jai. Thank you.